Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast, brought to you by Flowpath. I'm your host, Griffin Hamilton. This is the show where I interview industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights into modern-day facilities management. From hospitality to commercial real estate and everything in between, we'll learn what it really takes to succeed as a facilities manager. Welcome to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Today's guest, David Miller, is a Global Account Director with ISS. David, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Good, Griffin. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, today's main topic, and it's fitting with the year coming to an end and everyone looking to 2024 and planning for next year and budgeting is a big topic. So we're really going to deep dive there. But before we do that, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what it is you do?
Thanks. So as mentioned, David Miller, I'm an account director. So I'm in operations for a large facility management company. My role is really to run an account, run a contract, oversee the operations, work with the client on day to day.
Now, how'd you get into facilities management?
Facility management, like everybody says, right? It's not something that you grow up wanting to be a facility manager or anything like that. My background is in construction and project management. I went to school for business, and my brother actually owned a HVAC and electrical company, and he gave me a job in sales and project management. So, as part of that job, I worked with a lot of facility managers, got exposed to the FM industry as a whole. And my first role was an FM on a small site, took on some more sites, got into the contract side, started managing, larger accounts, and currently a global account director. So that just means that my, control or bandwidth is a little bit bigger.
Yeah. So switching gears here and really focusing on the finance piece of this. I know you mentioned that you had a business degree and then you made your way up the ranks in facilities. I think there's an interesting intersection there, and it's often overlooked on the impact that facilities has on the business as a whole. Yeah. So talk to me about that and your experience there.
Yeah, I think that's something that we often overlook, and it matters in how we run our businesses. So, it's very easy to say that facility managers show up and deal with problems, and that's definitely, what we do. But once we understand how facilities, how the buildings, how, the environment that people work in impacts the overall business, I think it gives us a little bit more guidance and direction in the decisions that we make, how we go about running our teams, how we make decisions and all of that.
Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of folks in the education space, and there's a lot of data on the impact that it has on students. And, there's data points on how the facility actually has the impact on, people, the occupants, and how they work, right? How productive they are. What data points or what stats do you really go to really tie that together?
Yeah. Yeah. No, great question. I think it depends. There's no question, I think for the audience that listens to this, that facility management is important, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the industry. You wouldn't be engaged. What I'm referring to really has to do with your specific business, like you mentioned, right? Facilities in education impacts the students. Facilities in manufacturing or data center, deal with uptime and are you creating an environment where the widget can be made or the equipment can operate? Then you look at something like office buildings, and that's comfort, workplace experience. You look at R&D type facilities. So I really think it depends on the type of business that's operating. And again, that's why it's so important that you educate yourself as a facility management professional, on what that means. And I think beyond, just being able to do your job better, I think it also gives it a little bit of perspective. It shows you how you fit in the overall picture. It gives you also levers that you can push or pull to get things done. you know, looking at your organization's overall goals. You know, maybe you work for a large company and they've got a big sustainability initiative rollout that they want to do in 2024. That's an opportunity for you to get some energy projects done. You know, looking at some ways that you can build a business case, not only, you know, financially, like we typically do, but also, you know, pull some of those softer levers as well.
Sure. No, it certainly makes sense. And taking a step back here and looking at just, let's do a crash course, budgeting 101 in facilities management, because again, that is something where there are oftentimes people move up the ranks and they start out, you know, turning wrenches, and they have to pick up that business component later on in their careers. And let's do a quick overview and crash course on budgeting 101 in facilities.
Yeah. And, you know, start off by saying I'm not a finance expert, and don't even want to pretend to be, but you hit on a good point. The FM industry, especially once you get into that facility management, you know, site manager type level, comes from a variety of backgrounds. Some of that is, you know, from the field, some of it's from completely different industries. And all of that, I think, is what makes it exciting and makes it a great industry to be in. But not everybody has a solid financial background. So I do think this is something that, you know, some organizations offer that kind of education in-house. You know, they provide training for their facilities teams and for their managers. But I think this is something that really sets, you know, you apart as a professional, is being able to educate yourself in this area. So sometimes that's, you know, jumping on YouTube and looking up, you know, how to create a budget or you know, how financials work in a corporate environment. Other times it's reaching out to your finance team and just, you know, saying, hey, guys, I need some help. I don't understand this. You know, I'm new at this. You know, what's the best way to, you know, to go about, you know, getting this done? And this could be, you know, understanding which costs in your budget are fixed, like labor costs, for example, or it could be, you know, costs that have a little bit of flexibility or variability into it. You know, understanding capital budget versus OPEX, just so you know, how things are paid for. And then seasonality of costs as well. I think we, you know, nobody likes surprises. And I think that's something that, you know, hits us, especially in areas where there's snow to deal with in the wintertime. You know, you get a lot of money going towards that. And if you're not prepared for it or don't expect it.
Right. And I think that preparation is something that is often overlooked. And I think a lot of people in the finance department may be listening that are like, yeah, we get those every year, those big surprises, those expenses that no one saw coming, but we should have. And I think that goes into, you know, tracking those costs and knowing the data behind it too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's important. I think you've got to find a way to get clear reporting. You know, consistent reporting coming, you know, in how you're spending money. So what you'll see, I think, when you get that is you'll see what trends month over month or season over season are coming in. And it all tells a story, right? The, you know, understand what the numbers are telling you. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. You got to keep it simple. It's got to be something that's easy to use.
Sure. And beyond the main components that you just mentioned, I mean, what, after you have that foundation, I mean, how do you continue to grow and have a more mature budgeting planning process?
I think it's a lot of that comes with time and again, education. You've got to, you know, we say this time and time again. I think, you know, facilities is an area that can often be looked at as overhead. It's you know, unless you work for a facility management type company where you drive revenue, you're really, you know, a cost to the business, and you've got to realize you know, how you can position yourself to protect your budget, because you know, costs seem to be one of the first things that get cut or get pushed back on, and that goes into, you know, what we talked about before with understanding the impact that you have on the business, right? Realize that you are more important than just, you know, a cost, just a line item in the budget. So you've got to defend that. You've got to educate yourself so you can do that.
Hey listeners, real quick. This is Alex Cummings, CEO of Flowpath, an industry-leading CMMS designed and built by operators to fit the scale of any organization. I'm excited to share with you that Flowpath now offers a tier for teams that just need core CMMS functionality on simple monthly contracts and at a price that makes sense. We call it Flowpath Core, and it runs on the same powerful Flowpath software that thousands of professionals rely on every day. So come check us out at getflowpath.com and see just how easy it is to get started with a software designed to fit your needs. Oh, and mention this ad and you'll get 10% off your core subscription. Okay, enough from me, back to the show.
Yeah, and so I guess from that whole relationship with that the finance department and really going back into those main core objectives that you have as an organization, I mean, what else can you do to like back that and back up that budget, because we're all requesting something, whether it's headcount or more material. Yeah. We all want a bigger budget, and it has to meet, to your point, with the overall objectives of the company and, you know, make sense from a business perspective. So how do you back that up, continue to do so?
Yeah, I think once you understand the budget, once you see how the costs are coming through, you know, you start to realize what levers you can pull within your budget. You know, you see what levers you can pull for cost savings, right? And this isn't going into, you know, specific items that you can implement today and all of that. You've had, you know, a lot of folks on the podcast here that, you know, come with those type of ideas. But when it comes to cost savings as a whole or cost savings initiatives, it's important to understand, you know, what the impact is to implementing those. So you might have something that'll save a few million dollars a year, but it's really going to make people upset, right? Or it's a really heavy investment at the front, which your business may not be prepared for or willing to do or able to do. So it's really understanding, you know, what the operational impacts are, and then also not taking those short-term cuts, making those short-term cuts and decisions that will have a longer-term impact that goes into the negative, you know, whether that's safety or operational. For example. And I think, you know, when it comes to levers, it's not magic, right? We show up, we have to have certain things in order to run our business, whether, you know, that's people or subcontractors or materials, whatever it is, but you've got to get creative. You know, look at the scopes that you have with your subcontractors, look at schedules, you know, is there a way that you can move things around and shift things around, especially with the way that return to work is nowadays. You know, you might have lighter days or heavier days in the office. So it's, you know, just different things that you can do to be smart. You know, another one to look at is, can you get special funding for projects or repairs? This goes again into understanding what goals your organization has. So for example, if sustainability is a big push, you know, for your company, can they throw some funding your way? Can you also look at outside funding? Are there, you know, incentives through your local municipalities for energy savings projects, those type of things?
Yeah, we've had a couple guests that have talked about that and just the complexities behind this, right? And a lot of oftentimes it's just, you don't know. There's a lot of uncertainties, and there's just a matter of asking the right questions.
Yeah. It does take work, right? It's not, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And I think, you know, going back into this is what sets, you know, professional facility management industry professionals, professionals apart from others is, you know, putting in the time, putting in the effort, you know, getting out, you know, asking questions, meeting people. Again, just understanding, like you said, what's out there.
Sure. And you mentioned earlier as far as measuring that ROI, and it's not always black and white. It's not always number, because there's the secondary impact that any sort of project could have or initiative could have. So how do you go about and measure ROI as you're building out the use case here?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's another one that really depends on what you're trying to achieve. This is again why it's important to get to track costs, right? To get the reports coming in so you know your numbers, you know what your baseline is, so you can show an impact in different ways. But also know that if you're putting together a business case that, you know, commits to a financial savings or commits to, you know, a higher productivity, you've got to get the data. You've got to track the data. You've got to figure out how to do it. Otherwise, it's just a soft commitment.
Sure. And speaking generally, what are some common challenges that you face whenever you're building a budget?
The challenges are, you know, you're working with, you're a piece of the pie, and, you know, the stakeholders that are at different levels of the organization or may have a little bit more control over the overall budget, may not realize, you know, the challenges that you have, in the facilities world. So, again, I think this goes into, you know, finding allies throughout the business. You know, how can you speak the language of the larger organization? You know, let them know that, let them know what you need, you know, be firm, but be smart about it, right? You've got to know your numbers. You've got to have, the data to back it up.
Sure. And that was a great segue here, because the next question I had teed up was just how you communicate this. And, it, you know, going back to the beginning, it's let's get on the same page and make sure what my budget is, it aligns with the overall objectives of the company. We have the data points. Now we have the ROI, and we're building out that use case or the business case there. And now it's just like the how. Like, yeah. How do you have that relationship and communicate what exactly it is you need?
Yeah, and it's a great question. I think you this all makes sense to us, right? We know you've got to replace the roof. We know you need to, you know, do X, Y, Z. But it's telling the story, it's presenting the data in a way that your stakeholders can use to make decisions. So sometimes it's, you know, taking a little bit of time on the front end, and just saying, you know, hey, even though I understand this, I don't think, you know, finance will. I don't know that. You know, operations and the larger organization will. So, you know, you've got to put in the work. You've got to, you know, present the data, like I said, in a way that that makes sense to others. You've got to use the data to tell a story, you know, build a business case. You know, that's how decisions are made in real companies. So.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers don't lie and data could be your best friend, but it's just a matter of, you know, collecting the data and actually entering it in the first place is what can be challenging at some point.
Yep.
Now looking ahead, what trends do you see shaping budgeting and facilities?
I think technology is going to play a big part moving forward. I think, you know, a lot of companies are already starting to invest or play around with that. I'm not sure it's where we need it to be, you know, to replace us all with robots. But I think that there are a lot of efficiencies that can be gained either through, you know, robotics or just data collection, data analytics that come, you know, through AI. For example, just understanding, you know, there's products that help out with scheduling routes for janitorial organizations or you know, restroom cleaning, for example, is a pretty straightforward one. So I think that technology is something that plays a role. I think, you know, we've heard it before on your podcast with, you know, the kind of coming out of COVID, we see how cleaning is looked at a little bit different than how it was looked at before. I think people understand the impact that a clean environment has either on, you know, health, which it absolutely does, but also perception of employees, you know, how employees feel, do they feel safe when they come back into the office? So I think those are two that are going to continue to play a role as we move forward.
Yep. And that goes back into, it's not always that black and white. Here's that return. Here's the impact that it has. There's secondary and tertiary impacts that these projects may have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, David, I appreciate all the context here. I know this could be a scary topic for a lot of folks in facilities. I know I've got one question I ask everybody, and that is, who or what has had the biggest impact on you in your career?
Yeah, and I knew you were going to ask it, so I did put some thought into it. I think it'd be easy to say that, you know, one of my early managers or a mentor, you know, had a big impact, but I'm actually going to say that it's my dad. And I'll say that for a couple of reasons. One, I think, you know, FM as a whole is about people. You've got to treat people with respect, you know, people that, you know, work within our teams, but also the client, understand that everybody's just trying to do their job and get home to their families. And then I think, you know, also understanding that even though we're not, you know, technically saving lives, right? We're not doctors or anything like that. We are important. And we being, you know, the facility management industry. So we should be proud of that. You know, we should understand the value that we bring. And I think those are two things that he taught me that kind of stick with me day to day.
Yeah, and that's perfect. And you're absolutely right in how that ties together in facilities. But well, hey, David, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is great. I'm going to have a lot of notes and ways to reach out to you here in the show notes of the podcast. But once again, thank you for coming on the show. And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, be good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Modern Facilities Management Podcast. Make sure to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on LinkedIn for more facilities management content.